بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Earlier we discussed the concept of imama and how imama is a fundamental foundation in Islam, and according to both traditions, the Sunni and the Shia traditions, imama is considered succession to the Prophet, niyabatul nabiyyi fi umur ad-dini wa ad-dunya. It is the representation of the Prophet in this worldly affairs, umur ad-dunya, and umur ad-din, which is religious affairs. So anyone who assumes this position, he is representing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore this position is very, very important. It determines the direction that Islam takes. The caliph is not just someone who lead the people in their congregational prayers, or he leads them in the wars against their enemies, but he is also the caliph, the imam who succeeds the Prophet. He has to interpret the Quran. He has to show guidance. So even the interpretation of the Quran and the implementation of the Quran depends on that person who succeeds the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, it is very central in the Islamic faith, Islamic religion. It is very central, and this debate over the imama and the khilafah is old. It goes back to the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. Then this debate started, but this debate expanded and intensified almost 700 years ago, when ilm al-kalam was developed. Ilm al-kalam is scholastic theology. Scholastic theology is ilm al-kalam. Ilm al-kalam developed, and there were schools that was formed, and they focused on imama, the concept of imama. The first one was al-Shaykh al-Tusi, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan Nasir al-Din al-Tusi. At that time, Shaykh al-Tusi, though he is originally from Tus, and Tus is in Khorasan, but he lived in Hilla, in Babil, Hilla, today's Iraq. This city is called Hilla in southern part of Iraq. He lived there, And he wrote his book, his thesis on Imamah. His thesis on Imamah was named Tajreed al-I'tiqad, which was translated and explained by his student Al-Allama Al-Hilli, Al-Hasan ibn al-Mutahhar Al-Hilli, Al-Allama Al-Hilli, one of the iconic figures of the school of Ahl al-Bayt. Like his mentor and his teacher, Shaykh al-Tusi is an iconic figure in the history of Ahl al-Bayt. So the student explained the book, and he named the book, as I mentioned last week, he named it Minhaj al-Karamati fi Ithbat al-Imam. This was almost 700 years ago. Then this book was rebattled by the leader of the Salafi tradition in Syria, in Damascus, Ahmed ibn Abd al-Halim ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah. They call him Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah. He rebattled the work of Al-Allama al-Hilli by naming his book Minhaj al-Sunnah. Minhaj al-Sunnah. And this book is a very polemic book. He badmouths the Shia. He considers them to be non-Muslims. He does takfir. Takfir did not start 20 years ago or by ISIS. ISIS are the products, Al-Qaeda and ISIS. These are products of the mastermind, main mastermind, Ahmed ibn Abd al-Halim ibn Taymiyyah, 700 years ago. And they depend on his book. A Salafi cannot become real Salafi unless he memorizes the book of Ibn Taymiyyah, four volumes, Minhaj al-Sunnah. So he rebattled that. But if you read the book, it does not have a scientific value. Does not have. It's only propaganda, anti-Shia, anti-Ahlul Bayt propaganda. In his book, he attacks Imam Ali, he attacks Fatima al-Zahra, he attacks the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. And he says Imamah to the Shia is like the Jewish theory. The Jews, they think that the leadership has to be only from them. And the Shia, they say the Imamah and the Caliphs and the leaders has to be only from the family of the Prophet. He contradicts a basic verse in the Quran. Basic principle in this book, in Surah Al-Imran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. God says, I have chosen them. This is my business. I have chosen these families to be leaders. Do you have a problem with that? It's not a Shia concept. This is a Quranic concept. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى. Verily, your Lord has chosen those families, those households, to be leaders upon mankind. It's not a Shia concept. It's a Quranic concept, Islamic concept. Begins with Ibrahim. Go and fight with God. Tell him, why did you choose Ibrahim? You should have chosen someone else. God said, I choose Ibrahim. And the righteous among his descendants. Not anyone, the righteous. The righteous. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah. So, in Iran, Iran at that time was mostly following the Ismaili madhab. But when Hulako attacked Iran in 1259 AD with his armies, they killed many Ismaili scholars and leaders in that country. All of them were killed by Hulako's army. As a result of that, people did not find any Ismaili leaders. This is 300 years before the Safavide came to power in Iran. Because today, the propaganda, negative anti-Shia propaganda, it says Iran was made Shia by the Safavide. No, it's not true. This is not true. There were Shiism in Iran from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, immediately after the time of the Prophet, after the time of the Prophet, when the Muslim army went to Iran, there were some people who embraced Ahlul Bayt from that date. And they lived in Khorasan. Khorasan was one of the centers of Shi'ism. Ray, which is Tahran's today. The ancient name of Tahran was Ray. Ray was a Shia center. Qom was a Shia center. Kashan was a Shia center. Sabzawar. These cities were Shia cities in Iran. The majority of their people were Shia from day one. When Islam went to Iran, those people followed the Prophet, and after the Prophet, his family, his household. They were loyals to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to the political establishment. They remained loyal to what the Prophet said, to his message, to his legacy. So the Safavid did not introduce Shi'ism into Iran. However, the majority of the people in Iran were non-Shi'as. And when Hulakon and his army, they killed the Ismaili leaders, some in Iran, they shifted to the Hanafi. To the Hanafi madhab. Madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. Because Imam Abu Hanifa also is from Fars, the greater Fars. Some people believe that he was born in Kabul. Today's Afghanistan. He was born in Kabul and he's buried in Baghdad. Imam al-A'zam, his shrine, his tomb, is in Baghdad today. So Iran, they were following the Hanafi madhab. Then, after, and by the way, most of the Muslim scholars are non-Arabs. Scholars, ulama of tafsir, the exegist, most of them are non-Arabs who explained the Quran. Most of them were Persians. The scholars of history, tarikh, most of them were Persians. Scholars of hadith, the imams of hadith, who compiled the hadith, whether in the Sunni tradition or the Shia tradition, are Iranians. Imam al-Bukhari, Imam al-Bukhari is Iranian. Imam al-Nasa'i, Nasa is a city, village outside Shiraz. He's Iranian. Imam al-Tirmidhi is Iranian. Even the imams of the madhahib, the largest today, the largest Sunni madhab is the Hanafi tradition. The leader, the founder, is Iranian. They are non-Arabs. Even Arabic language and Arabic literature, Arabic grammar, those who wrote the grammar, Sibawayh, Naftawayh, Sibawayh, those are non-Arabs. So Iran contributed huge contribution to the development of Islamic thought, Islamic history, Islamic society, Islamic science. Iran has great favor on Islam. And unfortunately, because the Arab nations, people in Hijaz, they did not embrace Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt were persecuted in Mecca, were persecuted in Medina, in other places. The Iranian nation, they embraced Ahlul Bayt. They valued them. They respected them. They followed them. They defended them. When Imam Rida went all the way from Medina to Khorasan, people, they received him with love, with respect. They truly believed that he's the great grandson of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From day one, the Iranian nation served Islam, protected Islam, the authentic Islam, the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Safavid came to Iran, they promoted the school of Ahlul Bayt. But the school of Ahlul Bayt did exist in Iran before their arrival. They were not the people who brought. Shah Ismail was not the one who brought Shi'ism. Shi'ism did exist, but they were minorities. But when the Safavid arrived into power, they promoted the school of Ahlul Bayt. They established Hawza seminaries in Ray, in Qom, in Isfahan, in Kashan, in Tus, in other places. And because there were freedom of thought, freedom of speech, freedom of expression for the followers of Ahlul Bayt, many scholars, they moved from Arab countries to Iran. Many scholars from southern Lebanon. Southern Lebanon is traditionally a Shia enclave. And the one who pioneered Shia Islam there and introduced Shia Islam to those people was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, radwanullahi ta'ala alayhi, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He introduced the tradition of Ahlul Bayt to the Lebanese community in Jabal Amil. As a result of that, many scholars, Al-Jiba'i, Al-Amili, Al-Karaki, many others, they left Lebanon, they went and they settled in Iran because they had a freedom to preach. In the Arab countries, they did not have freedom. In Syria, Damascus witnessed huge massacre for the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Many of the scholars of Ahlul Bayt, they died inside the prisons and jails of Damascus. Shahid al-Awwal, Shahid al-Thani, many others. Because Damascus and Sham was under the influence of Bani Umayyah. So those scholars, they moved from southern Lebanon, they went to Iran. Shaykh al-Amili became the mufti of the entire country, Shaykh al-Islam in Iran. And he settled in Mashhad. And they wrote books under the government of the Safavids. They gave freedom and respect and encouragement to Ahlul Bayt, to their tradition, to their scholars. We have the four books, original four books of Hadith, Al-Kafi, Al-Tahdib, Al-Istibsar, Man La Yahduruhu Al-Faqih. These four books, the original books of Hadith. But these four books were supplemented by other books during the Safavi period. One of them by Al-Faydh Al-Kashani, Kitab Al-Wafi. And then by Sheikh Al-Amili, Wasail Al-Shia. And Bihar Al-Anwar by Al-Allam Al-Majlisi, who lived in Isfahan. These are three books, Al-Wafi, and Bihar Al-Anwar, and Wasail Al-Shia. These are three books were written during the time of the Safavids. And this is how Shi'ism flourished. People, when there is a freedom of expression, when there is a freedom and people listen to the truth, they would accept it. And it was not imposed on the Iranians by force. No. It was introduced to them by logic, by mantiq, by reason. Not by money or by force or by false propaganda. This is how Islam, Shia Islam, the school of Ahlul Bayt, flourished in Iran. And as a result of that, there was this concept of imamah developed, and it had many advocates until today. There is a debate. This debate is an ongoing debate regarding the imamah. And both sides, they bring verses from the Quran. But they agree, Shias and Sunnis, they agree upon what the Prophet said, that anyone who does not, man mata, and this hadith has been mentioned in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, in Sahih Muslim, and many other Sunni references. They attribute this hadith to the Prophet, man mata walam ya'rif imama zamanihi mata mitatan jahiliyya. If a person dies without knowing who his legitimate imam is. Who is your legitimate imam now? Alhamdulillah, we are privileged by ma'rifah, by knowledge, to know who our imam is. We believe the Prophet did not leave us in disarray and said, you choose for yourself. He didn't say this. God did not let the Prophet die until he mentioned the name of the 12 Imams, one after the other. And many of the companions of the Prophet, those who accepted the truth, they knew the names of the Imams, the successors to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Imam now is the 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi al-Muntadhar, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. And he has representatives, the ulama who are pious, who are righteous, who are sincere, are his representatives. But for others, they are confused. Where is the Imam? Who is Waliyul Amr now? Go and ask other madahib, other traditions. They consider the Sultan to be the Imam, the Caliph, the Sultan, always. For them, it's different. But for us, we go back to the Quran. Quran says, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is up to your Lord to create and choose for leadership. مَا كَانَ. This is simple Arabic, my friends. Simple Arabic. Anyone who's familiar with Arabic, he understands the meaning. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. We don't leave the choice for them to decide who's the Imam. When it comes to the Imam and the Caliph, we decide. God says, I decide. I choose. I know best who becomes, who's the rightful person, who should lead the Ummah. Someone who's immaculate, someone who's pure, someone who's sincere. So this debate is an ongoing debate. And inshallah, we will speak about it maybe for another 2 or 3 weeks about the imama, because this is central in the Islamic theology. As I said, Islamic theology has usul and furu'. Usul are fundamentals. The fundamentals are monotheism, tawheed, nubuwa, the belief in the prophethood, the belief in the imama, succession to the prophets, the belief in the day of judgment, the belief in divine justice. These are principles that we cannot emulate. We have to understand them and embrace them ourselves. These are personal convictions. You cannot, yes, you can read books and listen to others about them, but then after that you have to believe yourself. You have to reach the conclusion yourself. You cannot emulate others. Furu' al-Din, you can follow someone. Come to him, ask him about salat, siyam, zakat, hajj, these details. What is halal, what is haram? They would tell you. It's okay. You don't have to be mujtahid. You can follow, you can do taqleed. But with usul al-Din, the principles, you cannot do taqleed. You can't say, I believe God in the oneness of God because my father says so. No, it has to be you. Yes, your father would introduce you. But later on, you have to embrace this thought. This is the difference between usul and furu'. Usul, لا يجوز فيها التقليد. We can learn them, but we cannot after that emulate and follow blindly. You can't. But with furu', you can follow. Because you say, I'm not an expert. In this field, there are some experts who studied this. That is the difference. Imama is from the first part, usul. We have to embrace it. We have to understand it. And if one day someone asks me about the imama, what is the origin of imama in the Quran? Why do you emphasize that Ali is the leader after the Prophet? After Imam Ali, there are other imams. You have to have the answer. You have to provide the answer. And most of these answers come from this book, the Holy Quran. Imama is embedded in this book. If we open our eyes and our hearts to the truth, we find the answer right away before our eyes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته، علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام، وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال ربنا العزيز في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة، يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون وعدا عليه حقا في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن، ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به وذلك هو الفوز العظيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. The Universal Day of Ashura has just passed, but the message is continuing. The message is stretching and expanding throughout the days and the nights of the year. The message does not end. God says, our messengers, they die, physically they die, but the message remains there. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. The message does not die. Banu Umayyah, they did their best to eliminate the name of Hussein and to erase him from the history of mankind, to erase the name of Imam Hussein from the hearts, the minds of the people. Because it was a huge embarrassment for Bani Umayyah to murder the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they failed. They miserably failed. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, as God says in Surah At-Tawbah. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا. They are determined. They do their best to erase, to put off the name of God and His remembrance. بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, with their mouths. وَيَأْبَ اللَّهِ, but God refuses but to continue His name and His message. وَيَأْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Despite the despise of the non-believers, the message is continuing. I heard that even non-Muslims in Iraq and other countries, in India, in Africa, in Europe, some parts of America, even non-Muslims, they participated in the commemoration of Ashura. Christians, Sabians, Zoroastrians, Hindus, some Buddhist, because Imam Hussein does not belong to one group of humans. Imam Hussein belongs to this universe. Imam Hussein belongs to all humans, all mankind. They commemorate Hussein, alayhi salam. Some countries, some entities, they tried to distract people's attention, to deflect the attention from Ashura into something else. The biggest Islamic country today in Jazeera al-Arabiya, they celebrated their national day, Eid al-Watani. Probably some of you do not follow the Arab news. I follow. The national day of Saudi Arabia, they celebrated the national day of their country during Ashura with dancing and music and festivals and food, and, you know, not only inside Al Jazeera but outside in Europe. They paid money. They asked the students to participate in these parties to overshadow Ashura and the message of Imam Hussein. But they are not going to succeed. Many nations, many empires, many governments before them, they tried to erase the name of Hussein. No one is more powerful than Mutawakkil, who destroyed and demolished the grave of Imam Hussein 7 times, not 1 or 2 times, 7 times. But the grave is being rebuilt. Because Hussein's grave, Hussein's place, is not a piece of land. Hussein's place is here, in your heart. And when you place someone in your heart, nobody can take him away from you. Because Hussein stood for the mankind, for the humanity. Hussein stood for God, his connection with God, his ikhlas. He did not work for a government. He did not work to be the caliph. His intention was to defend justice, and justice for all, not just his family or his clan or his group. Justice for mankind. This is why Hussein is successful. They cannot take him away. He did not depend on deception, deceptive propaganda, or dajjal, or lies, or deceit. He didn't. This is why people love him. Even non-Muslims, they love him. I spoke to many non-Muslims. He says, I don't believe in Islam. I'm proud of my own religious tradition, but I love Hussein. I love him for what he did. I love him for his message. I love him for his sacrifice. Imam Hussein depended on logic, mantiq, logic and reason and truth. His enemies, they depended on sheer military force. And my friends, throughout the history of mankind, when someone depends on sheer military force and he or she does not have logic, that entity, that army is bound to perish, cannot succeed. Those who invade other lands, occupy other lands based on dominance, based on control, based on suppression, based on military, sheer military power, those are bound to perish. They cannot exist. They cannot continue. They will fail. They would fail. Even if they last 60 years, 70 years, 100 years, they cannot continue. Only those who believe in logic and reason and haqq and justice, even if they don't have military power, one day they're going to win. The army of Bani Umayyah, the minimum number of the army was 30,000. Minimum. Some people put them at 70,000, 100,000. And the army of Hussein, 70 individuals. And those 70, including kids, some children who gave their life, they chose to defend Islam and go to the battlefield. So the army of Bani Umayyah, they superseded the army of Hussein. But where is the army of Bani Umayyah today? Where is Yazid's grave? Where is Muawiyah's grave? They disappeared. Where is Hussein today? You can tell me the answer. Millions of people, they flocked to the shrine of Imam Hussein just to stand there and say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Just to stand there and say, we love you, Hussein. Hussein did not have an army. Hussein did not occupy a piece of land. He occupied the hearts and the minds. The hearts and the minds. This is the real conquest. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ When you are with the truth and justice, you succeed. Even if you are a minority. Even if your army is small, at the end, you're going to defeat the largest army that depends only on sheer military power. Some people get this lesson, and some people are arrogant. They don't get this lesson. They continue their aggression and their occupation, threatening nations and countries. They don't get it. They don't learn lessons. We all remember the history of Hitler. Hitler occupied how many countries? But at the end he failed. Why? Because he was not logical. He was not following the truth. He was arrogant. And arrogance is bound to fail. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ And say, truth has arrived. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ Falsehood has vanished. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا For falsehood is bound to vanish. Does not stay for long. Maybe for some time, because God is testing the people, but not forever. The day of Ashura is in your hearts. Because it was based on haq, on justice. Someone who is madloom, being oppressed, being wronged, he stood up for justice. Allah will hold his hand. The love of Hussein, no government pays money for you to say, come and visit Hussein. People are spending their money, their time, giving their children, their homes, their food, everything for the Zuwar who walk. Where can you find, tell me today, people walk for 20 days. 20 days some people walk to visit Imam Hussein during the Arba'in. 20 days. Tell me what, do we have such event? Do we have such a shrine? Such person that can bring people who walk 20 days? This is only the love for Hussein. Not because Hussein is someone, a man called Hussein. Because Hussein is the embodiment of a truth and justice. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات إنك على كل شيء قدير وعجل اللهم في فرج سيدنا وإمامنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد